All right, today we're going to close out this this message series. We've been in a three-part message series dealing with the subject of won't he do it? That's right. You have figured out the appropriate response to that question. And so the first week, we talked about David. Last week, we talked about Moses. Today, we're going to talk about the life of Daniel. And as we kind of move into that, I get it. Most of us know about the most famous biblical encounter in Daniel's life, the moment where he experienced the lion's den as a repercussion for the boldness of his faith. But what I'd like to do today with the help of the Lord is to look a little bit deeper and evaluate the biblical principles that can be gleaned from Daniel's experience with the lion's den. And I think what you're going to notice with me is that when you remain faithful before the den, God will give you authority in the den and advance your destiny after the den. So I need to ask you one more time, won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
So let's drop an anchor with this text, Psalm chapter 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now let's look at it one more time for the sake of emphasis. This is the anchor text for today. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so what we see is that I believe this verse opens the door to Daniel's story, because what it presents us with is that there is the expectation of trouble, but there's also the assurance of triumph. That verse is pointing out not everything is going to go right. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be struggles, but there's also going to be triumph so long as God is involved. And so when you read through Daniel's life, according to Scripture, his story is not about avoiding affliction. It's about advancing through it. And so we probably all have a different level of understanding about Daniel from a scriptural standpoint. So let's kind of just create some context for everyone. Daniel chapter 6 is when the event with the lion's den is recorded. Preceding that is obviously five chapters. What you may not realize is that those five chapters actually span a significant period of life in Daniel's life. And what happens is that the first couple of chapters record the moment when Daniel is living in the nation of Israel and the Babylonians invade and they take him and some of his friends captive. They strip him from his family. Likely they strip him from his parents and they pull him into exile among the Babylonians. Now that culture at that time was extremely perverse. They were known for paganistic activities. It was about as satanic as anything that you can imagine in an open society. And yet when Daniel comes into that environment, evidently something has been imparted to him by his family about the importance of having a relationship with the one and only true God, the God of Israel. And so he actually remains faithful to Scripture and he refuses the worldliness and he refuses the sinfulness. And what results from that is something you wouldn't expect in a corrupt political system. He actually gets promoted. And so he survives. His life spans four different kings. So there's a transition of power among kings four times. And every time, Daniel seems to go up in influence and in rank and in political power. The first king he served under was Nebuchadnezzar. The second one was Belshazzar. The third one, that's the king at the time of the lion's den, is a man named Darius. And then the third one is a man known as Cyrus. Now, here's what I want you to see, because a lot of people miss this. Daniel chapter 6, when he goes into the lion's den, he is actually an elderly man. He is likely in his 80s. And so he is advanced in life at the moment that this happens. And so he's thrown into the lion's den because this new king, Darius, is taking his seat of authority as the king, and he really likes Daniel, and he decides he's going to promote Daniel. And the other officials, Daniel's peers and political foes, are super upset about that. And they decide they're going to blackmail Daniel and they're going to blackmail the king. Well, the problem is they can't find any dirt on Daniel. So what they decide that they're going to do instead is they're going to manipulate the king. And one of the things that was a part of that pagan society is that if you were the king of that of the Babylonians, you believed that you were God in the flesh. And so they tell Darius, you should make a rule to celebrate your kingship that says that no one can pray to any other god besides you, the king, for 30 days. And then we should put a penalty in place that if you violate that, you will be executed, arrested and executed with a violent death. Well, they make this decree, they release this mandate, and it doesn't seem to affect Daniel's faith at all. In fact, he keeps going out every day to his apartment, if you will, or his house. He opens the windows, he gets down on his knees, he prays to his God. They see that, they arrest him, and they ultimately throw him into prison. Now, it's not just a prison, it's a lion's den. And what's amazing is as he goes into the lion's den, he doesn't protest, he doesn't panic, he just keeps praying. It's almost like he understood if praying gets you into trouble, praying will get you out of trouble. But when you're looking at Daniel chapter 6 and this incredible event of the lion's den, there's three things I want to show you this morning. I want us to look at what we can learn from Daniel's life about what needs to happen before the den, what needs to happen in the den, and what needs to happen after the den. So the first one that we're going to talk about is devotion before the den. Devotion before the den. Look at this verse, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Notice the chapter, notice the verse. The lion's den is chapter 6 when he's an elderly man. Daniel chapter 1, he is still a teenager at best, perhaps even a younger child. And even at a young age, he is making a decision. I don't care what the world around me is doing. I don't care if they mock me. I don't care if they ridicule me. I don't care if they try to in some way insult my intelligence or assassinate my character. The Bible clearly says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. There is likely only one way that a child has that level of faith regarding his relationship with God. Daniel must have had a family, likely parents, who believed the truth of Scripture that if you raise a child in the way that he shall go, in the end, he will not depart from it. And so despite the fact that culture was spiritually collapsing all around him, that even when he was left all alone, surrounded by the enemy, he still refused to compromise his faith in God. It teaches us that private devotion sets the stage for public deliverance. But it also teaches us that it's super important as parents and as families to place within our children the importance of exalting God above all else. Because here's what John Maxwell says, and I believe it's a great statement. We're not made in the moment of crisis, we are revealed. We are not made in the moment of crisis, we are revealed. The den doesn't make you, the den reveals who you were all along. The famous evangelist D.L. Moody was known for saying, character is who you are in the dark. And so what we learn from Daniel is that he didn't wait on the den to get serious with God. And a lot of us, we're not ready to get serious with God until there's a crisis, until there's a circumstance, until all hell is breaking loose around us. And then we're like, oh, I probably should pray. Oh, I probably should worship. Oh, I probably should, you know, finally really get serious about having a relationship with God, even through church and all those things. And I get it. Like, crisis can actually be beneficial if it motivates us in that regard. But isn't it so much better if we don't wait on the den to get serious about God? Like I would encourage you, start standing when no one is watching so you don't fall when everyone is. Like, we don't get lion den faith overnight. It's developed in the quiet places. And so I would point this out to you. The kind of devotion that we're talking about this morning, it doesn't prevent trials. It prepares you for them. Remember that verse that we read at the very beginning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers you out of them all. Just because you've decided to develop a relationship with God, it doesn't mean your gutters aren't going to fall off your roof. It doesn't mean you're never going to have a flat tire. It doesn't mean you're never going to spill coffee. Dear God, on the way here from Campbellsville, I hit a buzzard, tore up the whole front end of my car. Of all the things that hit, a buzzard. Sorry, Mandy, that's the way you had to find out. It's her car, right? Stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. But we want to treat God like a genie in the bottle. And well, if I just rub God just right and I just check all these little boxes and I do this and I do that, then everything good's going to go right. That is not how this works. And you say, well, if that's the case, then why is it that, you know, nothing bad ever happened to me before? The enemy had you. Why would he disrupt your progression to a hell-bound darkness? But the moment you decided I'm going to get right with God, then everything started going wrong. That ought to be a sign to you that you're on the right track and the enemy is doing everything that he can to stop you. He will assault you in your infancy because he is afraid of you in your maturity. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Know this. When you start serving God, it does not mean that the trial will be prevented. It just means that you will be better prepared for them when they transpire. And so I think there's a question we have to consider within this vein, and it's this. Where in my life am I compromising quietly, thinking it won't matter later? Isn't it amazing how that when things are really going right, we start drifting in our prayer life, we start drifting in our worship, we start drifting in our Bible study, we start drifting in giving God our time, our talent, our treasures. And so I would just say to you, like, don't get to that place where that there's some kind of crisis that has to happen in order for you to finally realize how much you need God. Because there's really two sides of a crisis. Sometimes you're not serving God, all hell breaks loose, and it motivates you to get right with God. Then there's the other side where you've been serving God, the enemy hates you for it, and does everything he can to stop your walk with God. And so in one, it's God trying to get your attention. On the other side, it's the enemy trying to stop your forward progression. And so what I'm talking about this morning primarily is the kind of attack that comes when the enemy is trying to stop your forward progression. But maybe somebody just needs to realize I've been compromising in my life. And there's so many places where I've led up with intentionality. Maybe you no longer value purity. Maybe you've decided to start abusing the substance again. Maybe you've decided to start playing with the pornography again. Maybe there's stuff you're like, well, it just, you know, things are going pretty smooth. I'll just let this kind of play out the way it is. No, maybe it's time to evaluate where you're compromising. And so when you start thinking through some of that, it brings you to this reality. Start standing when no one is watching so you don't fall when everyone is, because lion den faith doesn't happen overnight. Here's the question. If the den came today, would you be ready? If the den came today, would you be ready? And I thought about, like, could we, like, maybe pick, like, maybe ask the Holy Spirit to help us. If we just wanted a practical assignment, where is one place we're slipping? Our prayer, our praise, our practice of Bible study, our purity, like just one place. And maybe for the next few days, just really focus on reclaiming that part of our relationship with God. Because what I like about Daniel is he didn't find his faith in the den, he brought it with him. I thought it would preach. I expected at least, I got one section of amens. I missed the other side. I'll keep working. I'll earn them, I promise. So I ask you, won't God do it?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. Let me show you a second thing we learned from the life of Daniel. Dominion in the den. dominion in the den. Look at this verse. Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. My God sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. Daniel did not receive a just sentence. He was thrown into the lion's den for his prayers, not for his rebellion. Daniel did right and he still suffered. But one thing is certain, he was never alone in the dark. One person said it this way, peace is not the absence of danger, it's the presence of God in the danger. I like what Philip Yancey said. He said, faith means trusting in advance what only makes sense in reverse. Say it again for emphasis. Faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Has anybody ever had that moment with God where you're like, oh, okay, God, I have been praying, and God, I have been putting some spiritual disciplines forward in my life, and now this is happening? Why me? Why here? Why now? Like, why do I have to go through this? She's not going through this. He's not going through that. Why me? Why here? Why now? It feels unjust. You feel like you were righteous and you still got afflicted. But sometimes trusting God in advance only makes sense when you watch the thing play out in reverse. Because here's the thing, God doesn't always stop the den, but he never ceases to rule in it. God doesn't always deliver you from the den, but you will discover he always has the capacity to give you dominion within it. And I get it, dominion is not a common word. It's not a word we use all the time, but it shows up in the Bible a lot. So you need an understanding of it. And to define dominion, you would say dominion is power, authority, or right to govern, rule, or to control something or someone. But in biblical terms, dominion often refers to God-given authority to bring change to a specific space, situation, or sphere, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. Let that sink in. So when God grants dominion to you, it means you are an agent of change. It means you are not a thermometer, you are a thermostat. It means that if all hell is breaking loose, you have the dominion to walk through the fire and to walk on the water. And that things that would rattle other people's cages, you stand there with a peace that passes all understanding. You need to understand, Daniel didn't just survive the lion's den, he thrived in the lion's den. He wasn't panicked and he wasn't powerless. He had peace when he was surrounded by predators. And some of you need that word because you are absolutely surrounded by spiritual predators. And you need to understand that God has given you dominion over the spiritual attack. And so I believe that Daniel was able to walk in authority because he'd been walking in obedience. And that's the reason it's so important to be a person that chooses to have devotion before the den so that you immediately step into dominion within the den. And so here's the thing. Dominion doesn't always mean that you get to skip the den. What it means is that the den doesn't define you. So one way we might say that is this. Dominion is when God gives you the ability to stand tall in a place designed to take you out. I'm about to preach. Now I get it. Some of y'all won't understand this because you're from a different background, but I got a little bit of fire in my roots. And sometimes I feel it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And sometimes I'm preaching this stuff and I just feel a little heavenly affirmation. And I pray you get a dose of that someday if it's new to you, because it'll change your perspective. It takes you from just, oh, well, that's a good point, to bless God, hallelujah, bring on the devil, and I'll knock his teeth through the back of his throat. That just something changes. Just a total different outlook. You kind of like reach this point where you're not like shaking about, oh, don't let hell come. It's like, give me a water pistol and let's go put some fires out. Like something changes. Some of you need the unction of the Holy Ghost to hit your life because you've been putting up with too many spiritual predators surrounding your life and you've been shaking and quaking in fear, panicked and powerless. But when you begin to understand the dominion of the Holy Spirit in your life, you realize I'll stand tall in the very place that the enemy told me he was going to take me out, because I'm not standing here in my might and I'm not standing here in my power, but I'm standing under the unction of the name that is above every name. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that which was meant for my evil, God will make it for my good. For all things shall work together to the good of those who are called of the Lord and ordained for his purposes. For we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. For what shall separate me from the love of God? Neither height nor depth. I don't know. I'll tell you this, God doesn't remove all problems, but he reigns in all solutions. So I can't promise you you're never going to have a problem. But so long as you serve God, you have the assurance of a solution. And it may not be the solution you want, and it may not be the solution you planned for. But he's still the author and the finisher of the story, and he'll write it according to what he sees fit. So don't let the enemy take a hold of your faith. The den is not the end. It's the setup for what's next. So don't equate the trial with the absence of God. You will learn in serving God. And some of you have this testimony. You know without a shadow of a doubt, God does his deepest work in the darkest rooms. And dominion isn't always loud. you imagine them apprehending Daniel? This dude is 80-something years old. He has given his whole life to standing against culture. His whole life. He's been mocked from the time he was a teenager. He just keeps standing. And now, at 80-something years old, it looks like the enemy has finally won. They finally outsmarted him. They finally outmaneuvered him. Politics is winning. And they drag him down into a den. And he doesn't go kicking, and he doesn't go screaming. It's just a quiet confidence. That if God gets me in, he'll get me out. I don't know who I'm trying to help. Some of you got to let quiet confidence come back to your life, because the confidence is not in you. It's in him. Does anybody still serve the God that stops the mouths of lions? And I need to ask you, are you and I, like, are we letting fear speak louder than faith in our current den? Well, I didn't expect this. I didn't deserve this. Why did God let this happen? And fear kicks in. They're going to prevail. They're going to win. I'm going to be overlooked. I'm going to be passed by. Are you letting fear speak louder than faith? You know, I did this morning. Just a practical thing. I just decided to evaluate my life, my family's life, and pick one thing that's been roaring real loud and write it down. And just start speaking scripture to it. And dare the lion to roar. Because I hope you've recognized the New Testament does decree and declare that the enemy walketh about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And sometimes you got to remind him that it's not you that speaks back, it is God that speaks back. And that's why you don't even have to yell and scream. You just stand there with a quiet confidence. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. Now, I want you to look at what happens after the mouths of the lions are shut. God didn't let the den be Daniel's grave. He made it Daniel's gateway. So I want you to see the third thing we learn from Daniel is that there's destiny after the den. Look at this verse. Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus. You missed it. Yep, I think you did. You can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus. He survived both the Democrats and the Republicans, and that's saying something. Well, I thought it was funny. You know what? This is literally what it's saying. It didn't matter who was in political power. He still prospered. It didn't matter who was sitting on the throne, because he had a God who was above every throne, every pedestal, every political mandate of humanity. And so God just kept elevating Daniel. And so Daniel didn't just survive the den. He stepped into greater influence because of the den. The den launched the next season of his life. So can I just ask you, what if the setback is actually the setup for your comeback? What if you've been so mad, so frustrated, I don't understand. All these setbacks, it's nothing but a setup for a comeback that only God will get the credit for, because quite frankly, he's tired of coincidence stealing his credit. I like what one pastor said. He said, God takes you through what you would not go through to bring you to what you could not get to. That preaches so good, I almost invited him this morning. God takes you through what you could not go through to bring you to what you could not get to. The den is not the end, it is the elevator. What was meant to destroy Daniel actually propelled him into destiny. So one man said it to me like this. He said, the place meant to bury you becomes the platform that God uses to bless you. The place meant to bury you becomes the platform that God uses to bless you. So here's the deal. Remember, it's not a grave, it's a gateway. You might remember the enemy tried throwing Jesus in a grave, but it became a gateway. And now we are told through Scripture that if we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you and I. The lions didn't eat Daniel, but that experience fed his future. And some of you needed the experience to feed the faith that you're gonna need for the future. And so the thing becomes this: God uses trials to transition us into our purpose. So let the trial transform you, not just pass you by. Don't waste the den. Let God work it for destiny. And so here's a question for you and me as we contemplate destiny after the den. Have I been so focused on survival that I'm missing the setup for what's next? What if some of you have tried to survive for so long, you have forgotten how to thrive spiritually? And what if you've been missing the setup for what it is that God has next? And so maybe this week you ought to just take a little time and just thank God for the test, believing it's going to be a testimony. And I know it sounds so cliche, but just thank him for the mess and see if you don't get a message out of it. People will say, oh man, that message really touched me. That's awesome. We always want to hear that. You know what I've discovered in preaching over 8,500 times? The moments that I hear that the most often is when it came out of a mess. Something you had to personally give birth to. Something you had to personally walk out. Something you had to personally experience. And some of you, you ought to just start thanking God in advance for the testimony and the message that he's going to bring out of that situation. Ask God. Here's a good one. Ask God to help you to identify the platform that he is building through your pain. You'll learn a lot about your purpose based on your pain. God chastises those he loves. So it means if he allows an element of chastisement, it's because he's trying to reveal something to you about purpose in that vein of your life. And we don't like it. It's not. I'm not saying it's fun. But you maybe have heard of Harriet Tubman. She was born a slave in Maryland in the early 1800s. She endured brutal conditions. She was beaten. In her early years, she actually received a head injury at the result of her slave owner that caused her health issues the rest of her life. But long before she became famous, she actually was known for having a private faith in God that was extremely steady and consistent. In fact, she couldn't read, she couldn't write, but she could pray. And she was known to do it consistently and constantly. In 1849, God answered her prayer and she escaped slavery. And you would think that's where the story ends, but it's actually where it gets started. Because it would seem as though Harriet understood, I need to ask God what kind of platform he's been building through my pain. And so she went right back into the stronghold of slavery, and she developed the Underground Railroad, and she started rescuing slaves. She rescued over 70 slaves, and she never lost a single one of them. Now, what's amazing is that before the risk, she was faithful. In the danger, she was fearless. And after the trial, she walked in a destiny that experienced great favor. Because what no one would have anticipated is that after the Civil War, she received national recognition and honor. She was buried with military honors, and now they plan to actually put her on American currency. She went from a hunted fugitive to an honored freedom fighter. And it's all because she found out what God had been building through her pain. So have you and I been so focused on survival that we've missed the setup for what's next? Have we failed to ask God what kind of platform he was trying to build through the pain? And I need to ask you one more time, won't he do it? Yes, he will. I believe that God is looking for some Daniels in every generation. So will you be devoted to him before the den? Will you trust God's dominion in the den? Will you walk boldly into God's ordained destiny after the den? And they're going to play some music, and I'm going to summarize this message right here. If you missed everything up to this point, it's cool. We're going to settle it right here. Right here. Just don't miss this next slide, okay? We got it right here. Before the den, be faithful. In the den, be fearless. After the den, walk in favor. Now, I get it. You and I are probably the same. Anybody prefer to fast forward right here? Just walk in favor? It's not typically what God permits. Before the den, be faithful. And when the den finally shows up, be fearless. Walk in quiet confidence. Descend down into that den, understanding that God's already written an exit sign in the red blood of Jesus Christ on the other side, and that you're going to come out greater than you went in. And you'll never be able to explain it to anyone that hasn't experienced it. But you'll live the rest of your days thanking God for what he brought through what you didn't understand. And you won't get there overnight. Daniel, you may even be in your further elder years, but you'll watch God be faithful over and over and over again. So every morning, I'm super intentional about this. Sometimes I do have to travel a lot, but when I'm home, I try to sit down at the table with Dawson. Natalie's already graduated. He still goes to school. And at the conclusion of his meal, I'll always tell him, come over here. Stand right here. Right here. Dad, I'm going to be late. Stand right here. Dad, I'm going to be tardy. I don't care if you get 14 tardies. Stand right here. And I lay my hands on it. And I pray in my own way, God put something in him the world can't take out of him. I've done the same thing over my daughter her entire life. But their mama, little meek Mandy, she has her own prayer. And so often, she'll lean in and she'll whisper it over the top of my own. Lord, stop the mouths of lions. You think the enemy don't want to destroy your seed, your future, your destiny? It is time to believe God that he will stop the mouths of lions, even when you are surrounded by predators. Father, be a waymaker. Be a waymaker in our life. God, empower us with the boldness and the courage. Have devotion and faithfulness before the den. And Lord, when the den arrives, give us that unction to be fearless and to walk in a dominion that only you could make available. That God, we may come out of those enemy attacks with unexplainable, almost inexpressible levels of favor that birth your planned and prepared destiny for our lives. Lord, we yield ourselves to you today, and we invite you, stop the mouths of lions for the glory of your name, for your sake. God, you kept Daniel. You covered Daniel. You even crowned Daniel. If we get that same kind of testimony, perhaps even the crown of a career or some experience in life, God, we pledge to you this day. We bring those crowns someday to the other side of heaven, and we join with the 24 elders of Revelation 4, and we lay them at the throne before Jesus Christ, and we testify, had it not been for the Lord and his goodness and his grace, tell me, where would I be? God, there's people under the sound of my voice that are separated from you. They don't have a relationship with you. They need to be saved. May they have the courage right now to call out to you in the name of Jesus for salvation, asking forgiveness, believing that because of what you did on the cross, you'll give them a born-again experience. Somebody else, God, they need to rededicate their life today. God, may they throw their hand up like a drowning person in waters of an ocean riptide and say, God, save me. Put me back on course for devotion and faithfulness. Somebody else, God, today, it's their all-in moment. Finally, time, talent, treasure, they're all in. No more playing games. They're going to bring their faith to the den. In Jesus' name. Lord, let it be done. And this church said...